right, everybody. It's time for another Webtoon Wednesday. I have a creator joining me on the podcast today who has a really funny slice of life strip that I totally binged in one night from the first episode to the most recent. Mary Park, welcome to the show.
Hi.
So, MERS, is that how it's pronounced?
Yeah. It came from a nickname from like junior high. My name is Mary, so my friends got really lazy and called me Mary. Like, it went from like saying Mary really fast to MERS.
That's awesome. Well, mm-hmm. You just from the reading the strip, you get kind of a sense. It's so great because it's one of those kind of strips where you really feel like you start to get to know the creator through reading about these experiences. It's so clearly drawn from your own life. And I really get the impression that you've always been into kind of comic books and anime and manga. Was that something you grew up with? Like, were those things that always interested you?
Yes, heavily. What's it called? Yeah, they've heavily interested me ever since I was probably like maybe four.
Is any particular favorites you'll call out?
The first anime I've ever watched in my life that I was obsessed with was called Ranma One Half. And even though it had some like adult content, like there's some nudity, it was okay to watch for us kids. I don't know why, but it was my favorite. My mom played it for us all the time.
And did you?
And then, oh yeah.
No, go ahead.
Oh, and then of course, like the generic Sailor Moon. I was obsessed with that.
And you have an older sister, right? So was she interested in these same kind of things, or was it much more interest? Were you the one that kind of leaned more toward that kind of thing?
Oh, no. She is completely not interested in any of this. If anything, she thought I was like too much of a loser for her to even hang out with before. She's more into like makeup and beauty and like girly things. And I was like heavily into like toys and like comics. And yeah.
Now, was it only the Japanese stuff, like the manga and the anime, or were there American comics that you enjoyed as well?
Yeah, anything that is animated, I was obsessed with. I don't know if it was the best thing, but my parents always put the TV in my room. Like, my sister never got a TV in her room, but ever since I was about three, they put the TV in my room, and we always had cable, and I would just binge on cartoons, whatever's on the TV, whether it's American, Korean, or Japanese.
And so then, at what point did you start thinking, well, maybe I want to go to school to kind of become a creator and create some of these kind of properties, whether it be animation or print or whatever? What age do you remember when you started thinking maybe that was a path you wanted to go down?
Well, separately, I was always just into drawing. Like, I would just constantly draw on napkins at restaurants or anywhere I could possibly draw. And so I always knew that I wanted to be an artist because I love to draw. But then as I got older, I realized you can't just draw and have a career. Like, you know, it's kind of hard. So I thought like, okay, like let's go to college and get professionally trained to like work as a, what's it called? A successful artist in the real world, I guess you could say, instead of just like hoping to like draw and put it into a gallery and hope that one day people will like your art. So I thought, okay, I'm going to enter college and study digital media because I felt like that's kind of just where the future is headed with just digitalizing art. So I didn't always think I would get into comics. That was just what kind of inspired me as a kid to like be into like storytelling. But as an adult, I thought I was going to be working in like digital media.
So did you think, okay, I may be able to do something art-wise that I enjoy, but it won't necessarily pay the bills. But if I get a degree in kind of digital media, then I can do graphic design or I could do advertising and I can at least work in the field that I enjoy while on the side doing things more creative. Was that kind of your thought process?
Yeah, my thought process was like, no matter what, even though it can't be exactly what I want, maybe I could at least be creative in some way, whether it's doing graphics or design work. But after I graduated and 5 years like later, I realized, I don't think this is really speaking to my like creative side. I mean, it is creative in a whole different way, but it's not like creative in the way how I like to build like characters and storytell. So I always thought like I'm going to slowly work on my own comic series. I mean, it was obviously it's really hard if you work a full-time job because comic series take like probably around 80 to 100 hours a week, like the serious ones, you know? So yeah.
Yeah, it's not for the faint of heart. Now, where did you go to school?
I went to Otis. It's a College of Art and Design in LA.
Okay, so West Coast. And there is kind of a lot of opportunity though there, right? For digital media in, the film industry's there. There's a lot of advertising firms in LA. So, once you graduated and had to get like a big girl job, what path did you follow? Did you go into advertising? Did you go into digital design or graphic design? What was kind of your path?
I went into more of like the graphic and website for like marketing. I felt that it was because what in college, I was studying a lot of 3D, like 3D modeling and design. And I thought like, okay, I think I'm going to get into game design. But when I graduated, I feel, especially with my incredibly high student loans, I was like, I don't think I want to pursue a career where it's majority is like project based. So I don't want to keep looking for a job every year. So
Right.
I thought I'll get into graphic design and work into a more stable career. So yeah.
And then, like you said, so that was great that you got to use your artistic talents to kind of pay the bills, but it wasn't scratching that creative itch. So, at what
No.
point did you start kind of looking around and searching for something to kind of satisfy that creative aspect of your personality?
There was just I just always knew I wanted to do a comic. I've always planned on doing a serious one, like more fantasy and like more epic and in that kind of genre, but I just couldn't find the time to make it a reality, but I always held it really passionately in my heart that I'm going to do this. So every time I would come back from work, if even if it's 1 or 2 hours, I would research and I would write different plots and chapters and just really prepare my like life to start doing this. But it was just too hard. It was way too hard. It was just the hours I know what it takes, what I would need to quit my full-time job. But then there came a time where Webtoon was kind of like becoming a thing, like especially in Korea. Webtoon's like a giant thing where it was these vertical scrolling digital comics. I was really intrigued by that. But at the same time, even though I am Korean, I'm like, I cannot make a Korean webtoon because my Korean is awful. So, but then I discovered that there is a Webtoon US and I was like, what? And I found that it's all like, for English speaking people. So, and then I came across like all these much more shorter comics that are like slice of life or comedy, much more short strips. And I was like, I could totally do this after work. So I just did it for fun. I had no like thinking about it going any bigger than it is right now. I really thought it was just like something I could do for fun on my own and practice paneling and comic making. And then one day when I'm ready, I could do a serious comic.
Yeah, so it sounds like you're very dedicated to your craft, and having grown up with anime and manga, you want to do something epic in scope and everything. But it also seems like you didn't want to put like half effort into it. If you were going to do it, you were going to do it the right way and have it be something you could really be proud of. And as you said, that's impossible to do and work a full-time job and get any sleep whatsoever.
Yeah, definitely.
So this seems like a happy medium. So why don't you kind of let our listeners know? We mentioned MERS as a slice of life. So when someone comes up to you, or you're at a show, or you meet somebody and you tell them, "Yeah, I have this comic strip," and they say, "What's it about?" So what's your standard answer? How do you kind of describe the strip?
The funny thing is, I get really shy talking about MERS because I guess like hidden behind MERS when it's just posted, it's just I could be as wild as I want.
Right.
But when I actually meet people and we talk about MERS, I get really shy because in my comic, I'm pretty much telling everyone all the crazy, gross things that I do. So I guess I get really nervous. But I think like to like simply explain it is like it's based off my life loosely with my family, friends, and my pets, and just little things I like, little quirks, I guess, that I deal with when it comes to like dealing with being either a girl or like an insecure person.
So you live your everyday life and these crazy funny moments happen like they do to all of us in life, and you immediately it pops in your head, well, there's my next strip. Is that kind of how it happens?
Yes, exactly.
So when you were getting started, like what did that involve? Because you started off on the Discover side of Webtoon, right?
Yes.
And so did you, I mean, how do you, like, what's the process? How do you work? Do you work on a Cintiq? Like, how did that happen? And how much material did you have, like, kind of in the can before you launched?
Well, it was more of a testing for me. And I felt like the easiest story to tell as a practice would be my own stories. And for me, like as an individual and as a person in a relationship, I've always been on the much more weirder side. I just, I don't know. And like when I met my boyfriend too, we're just both extremely weird. So like coming up with content was pretty easy in the beginning because there's just a lot of weird stories to tell or just how, yeah, I don't know. as in like the things I use, I went through various different things. At first I was just using my Wacom tablet with my laptop. And I went from like drawing monitors to now I just use the iPad Pro because that's the most, I feel like it feels the most natural to me. It's the closest you could get to pen and paper, like pencil and paper.
Got it. Yeah. Yeah, the new ones with the new pencil are really pretty slick when it comes to that. Like you said, it feels, but at the same time, working digitally does give you a chance because, you know, we've mentioned several times about how time consuming it is when you have a full-time job. There are advantages to working digitally in terms of erasing and correcting mistakes and things like that. So I feel like it's almost a must these days for people who have basically two full-time jobs.
Yes.
So when you you got started, and how long was it after you were on Discover and you're telling these weird slice of life, your pets, your boyfriend, your friends, how long, like, did it seem like you got an audience right away, or how long did it take you before you felt like you started to really have a community of fans?
I have to say it happened so quickly that it was like almost unbelievable. Like when I first uploaded on Discover, I would like jump up and down and tell my boyfriend, I got 15 likes. This is amazing. You know? And then my sister told me like, you should always share your artwork on your social media platforms. And for the longest time, I didn't want to because I was always embarrassed to like show my art, but I did it. I put it on Instagram. I didn't think anything crazy would happen, but like my Instagram started to gain a lot of traction, I guess. And with that, with the Instagram and my Discover Webtoon, it just kind of worked together and just kind of grew exponentially much more faster than I thought. And that's kind of like what happened.
Was there a certain point, like either what, like maybe a certain number of followers, or you came across people talking about your work? Was there something that ever happened where you felt like, wow, I kind of made it, like I've made it as a Webtoon like creator, like I did it? Was there ever that moment?
Oh, I definitely felt like that when Webtoon asked me to be a featured creator. And also when like some of those media outlets would reach out and want to interview me, and I felt like, whoa, why? So maybe then a little bit.
So do you remember that moment? Like, how did you find out you were getting moved to featured? Was it an email or did somebody call you? Like, what was that like?
It was an email. I remember I was at work and I was taking like a triple take. I was like, what? No, 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 no. This is not happening. Because I think I was only on Webtoon for about a few months on Discover. And I assumed I'm going to polish my work and be a lot more, much more a better artist. Like maybe after 3 years, I might even be considered as an option, but not in a few months. So I was pretty floored, but I also was really scared because now it felt like it's going to be on the giant platform. And at that point, I was still really afraid of showing my artwork. I thought it was like, it felt more comfortable to hide my artwork in Discover and just have some people like it, but like to put it in the front and like tell everyone, look at this, it made me really scared.
Well, that's the thing that's so interesting. You know, you talk about being shy, but in your artwork, in your strip, you kind of let it all hang out. It's
yeah.
And it's so fun.
That's why I get really shy when people want to talk to me about MERS, because like in real life, I get really shy.
But I think the fact that you do kind of touch on every subject, even things that people do get embarrassed about, and you just put it out there, I think that's what makes it relatable. Because I was sitting there, I was sitting in bed last night, and I'm scrolling through, I'm reading them all, and I got to the episode where you got the mom jeans, and when you asked your boyfriend to look, he's like, "Why does your butt look so long?" And I started like cracking up, because my wife and I have totally had that exact same conversation, where she'll be excited about an article of clothing, and I'll be like, totally objectively saying, well, why does it blah, 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 this? And she just turns to me with the, what did you say? So I show her, she's like, yep, that's us, 100%. So yeah, I think you've really captured something special. So you must have a lot of fans that kind of have that same sort of reaction, right? Where they're like, they can totally relate to the things that you're going through.
Yeah, I felt like even though I am still shy to this day, but it's kind of weird because ever since I was really young, I never had a problem with maybe like being the clown for everyone or just to like laugh at myself so that other people could feel more comfortable to laugh at themselves too. Because I feel like there's a lot more shyer people. And then when they read my comics, they're always like, oh my God, that's how I always felt inside, but I didn't want to like say it because I feel too embarrassed. And I'm like, girl, don't be embarrassed.
Yeah, like, we're all human. Like, it happens to everybody.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned that you, when you started off early on, so many stories to tell and funny little inside jokes with you and your boyfriend and your cats and everything, your friends. Now that it's been going on for a little while, has it become harder to come up with new ideas? Is it a challenge to keep it fresh? Or do you still have plenty of material just in your day-to-day to mine from?
Yeah, there's definitely times where it becomes difficult because, what's it called? Like life in general since it is based on me, like life can't always be so interesting, you know? Yeah. I have some weeks where it's not that interesting or funny, but I have to draw up like some ideas from a very dry week, or just in general, every artist goes through like really hard artist blocks. I don't know. Yeah. But thankfully an idea will always come, because I'm learning to expand the way I think about ideas instead of just being so pigeonholed of like, oh, I think people only want to see relationship things or about my cats, but that's not true. Once I was able to like broaden the idea of MERS, which is like open myself up to like my thoughts, my feelings, or my opinions, or just old stories of my life or people in my life, that's where I felt like creating content became a lot more easier for me.
Yeah, I think that it's important, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong, and this may not necessarily apply to you, but I think it will, because I think as a creator, you always want to keep kind of challenging yourself, and you want to keep growing both in terms of like technically with the things you can do with your art visually, but also the ideas and the stories that you want to tell. Because if you get pigeonholed, if you get to the point where you're just you know, trying to tell a funny little four-panel joke every time, then it gets stale and it stops being special. You've got to continually kind of grow and evolve to keep it interesting, both for your fans and for yourself, right?
Yes.
And I also think that that kind of showed in one of the things that you did sort of in the middle, where you had a few strips that tied in more closely to each other than others had done before. When you were talking about, it was kind of you, Merz was going on that journey of, okay, I need to create strips. What are kind of the obstacles? I think it was three strips that you did.
The phases of going through those obstacles, like distractions. Right. Yeah.
So being that I do this podcast on my own with no help, and I put out about 10 episodes a week, I could completely relate to all of
them. Oh yeah, you definitely could relate. Yes.
100%. And people ask me, I said, like, how come you don't watch this TV show? How come you don't do this? I'm like, man, I don't have time. Who's got time to be watching 17?
Right? Shows? That's how I feel too.
You guys are leaving me in the dust. I was happy I got to take my daughter to see Captain Marvel. Made the time for that. It's like, come on, people. So yeah, it seems like Merz is going really great. Seems like you're having a lot of fun doing it. Do you still have that itch in the back of your mind though, to do something epic, to do a more traditional, kind of manga kind of story at some point?
I definitely do, but I think right now I would have to definitely put it on pause because there's just so much going on right now, and it's just me trying to find my rhythm, I guess. I'm still like a mess, right?
Yeah, you're still working the day job, even though you're over on the featured side?
I actually finally quit my full-time job a few months ago, but I'm still working as a freelancer for different companies and doing Webtoon.
Got it. Yeah. And honestly, I mean, if you still have plenty of stories to tell with Merz, there's no reason really to stop. But I would look forward to, because I love the way your brain works. So I would look forward at some point to seeing you do something like a more traditional manga. I think that would be really exciting. And in fact,
yeah, that would.
I just last week on Webtoon Wednesday, we had Jin Kim on. She's kind of one of the facilitators behind the scenes for the Discover. And she was telling me about how there are so many Webtoon creators that are on the featured side that still do something on the Discover side too, which will be something totally different. Like, so in your case, if you're doing something on the feature side that's kind of a slice of life and humor, then you would do something more serious on the Discover side, or vice versa. There's creators that are doing, you know, something more traditional, long form storytelling on featured, and then they'll do like a little quick humor strip on Discover, just to kind of make sure you're flexing those same artistic muscles, and also to see if there's an audience for you to do something different like that.
Yeah, I heavily was thinking about that. Once I find the time, I was like, maybe we could sneak in some panels in Discover and just see how it's received, to see if this is something I do want to pursue.
Yeah, and you could, and you know what would be really cool is if Merz as a character in your featured strip was reading your Discover strip.
Just market my other strip.
Yeah, 100%. Why not?
Definitely. It's an idea I've been entertaining, but I just need to find the time. I just get so overwhelmed with like just even drawing one background for a panel. It's like very overwhelming for me.
Sometimes I know the feeling. So keep putting out Merz, and you know, maybe at some point you'll feel like it's time to take a break and do something else. So, but I can only imagine. I did see the Discover strip where you kind of announced that you were moving over to featured, and you kind of gave everybody like a scare at first. You're like, sorry, everybody. And I just, that reaction of people in the comments. I can only imagine if you ever take a hiatus from Merz, you're going to have a lot of people,
I know. And that's why I feel so bad on like days that I don't feel like I'm being my funniest, because I don't want to let people down.
Well, what advice would you have for someone else who's kind of in that same place you were, where, you know, maybe they grew up drawing, they have a creative side, and they're, maybe they're working in advertising or something else like that, and they have that itch to do something creative, and they're kind of looking to break in, whether it's a humor strip or more traditional, because it seems like you went through that. You went through that transition. So if someone is kind of in that same place that you were at, what advice would you give them about ways to scratch that itch or breaking in or maybe even trying out Discover?
I actually had this conversation with an aspiring creator. He's 16 years old. I told him, surprisingly, you would think the advice would be to draw well, practice drawing, be the best drawer there is. But I feel like it's not really true. I think you need to have a very strong story or an idea, and practice writing like a nice plot or a comedy strip with and practice your timing, because there's so many great artists out there, but even your great art will fall flat if it's not tied to a strong concept or story or idea. Because if your story is strong, you could tie them to a stick figure and it'll do very well. And that's actually been happening. Those Rage Tunes, they've been a huge success, and they're like the most poorly drawn comics. Yeah, so that would be my advice.
That's a really good piece of advice. Actually, it's one that I think not enough people pay attention to. And you'll even hear it, this kind of goes hand in hand with that, when people are trying to break into the traditional kind of thing. Like I hear Matt Hawkins, he's the president of Top Cow Publishing. And, you know, they publish print comics, you know, more traditional. And he talks mm-hmm. about it all the time at shows where he has aspiring creators come up and they'll show them the portfolio. And it's like, you know, a bunch of pinups. And he's like, this doesn't, mm-hmm. yeah, this shows me that you can draw a cool looking Spider-Man or whatever, but it doesn't tell me that you can tell a story. Like, stop drawing mm-hmm. pinups, draw sequentials. That's what comics are. That's what webtoons yeah. are. It's sequential storytelling. You got to be able to tell a story. Doesn't matter mm-hmm. how beautiful your art is. You got to be able to tell a story. So that's really good advice. Now, I wonder, I wanted to ask you about the fan community, because you have such a great following for MERS. Do you really enjoy interacting with your fans? What's that been like?
Yeah, I do. I was so afraid of the internet, as anyone should be in the beginning, but I have come to realize how sweet and amazing my fans are. Like, every interaction pretty much that I had with them have always just been so sweet. I haven't dealt with a lot of trolls much, but I was relatively super surprised at how sweet and warmly received MERS was.
Now, have you gotten to do any conventions where you've met fans face to face? Have you done any of that yet?
Yes, I went to Philadelphia Keystone with Webtoon last year, and I forgot, in the fall time. It was my first time meeting fans, so it was really, it was crazy to experience, to be honest.
Were you surprised at how beloved, how much they came up and were gushing about how great the strip was?
Yeah, because I was even fangirling meeting the other creators, so I didn't even expect anyone to know me over there. But when I went, because I was just walking around no one knows me anyways, it doesn't matter. And then turns out later there was a few people that recognized me, and it was just so touching, and I was really floored.
Yeah, I remember the first time I was at a show and somebody they heard me talking. I was on the phone. They heard me talking, and they just – because, you know, most people don't have any idea what I look like, but they heard my voice. Yeah. And they were like, wait a second. Yeah, it's definitely a surreal moment. But you mentioned the other creators that you got to go to the con with. So that's another part of Webtoon that's so great, is the creator community. So you've had a chance to meet some of the other creators and kind of make friends and have people that you can kind of commiserate with, that you're, you know, kind of on the same level, going through the same sorts of things.
Yeah, it was really cool to see other people doing the same thing I do, obviously probably on a bigger scale, but just seeing how human they are too. And yeah, it was fun to get to know them, grab some drinks with them, and just laugh with them.
That's really cool. You know what? It's been really fun, Mary, talking to you about the strip. Again, it's so interesting. It's so fun. It's so relatable. I really appreciate you taking the time. So I don't want to keep you too long. We've talked about how busy you are. But I did want to ask you one last question. Is there anything you would do differently on this Webtoon crazy strip journey that you've been on, if looking back, or you think everything happened exactly as it should have?
I'm definitely happy with the way things happened. It was such a wild roller coaster this past year and a half, and it's just been so positive. But if I can choose, I would have probably done this a lot sooner.
Oh, that's good advice. See, so exactly the advice you gave that young aspiring creator, 16.
Yeah.
It's never too early to start, right? Never too early to start honing your craft.
Mm-hmm.
So if any of our listeners want to follow along, if they don't already, make sure you go to the link in the show notes, subscribe to MERS, check it out. Again, it's hilarious. I think there's about 180 strips or so. And like I said, I totally binged them all one sitting.
Yeah, I think so.
But if they want to follow along social media, where's the best place to get information about your work?
I think Instagram would probably be the most informational, which is just /MERS Studio.
All right, mm-hmm. Great. And I'll put a link to the Instagram in the show notes. So again, everybody, if you want to go and check out Mary's work, just go to the show notes, click on the link, and you'll be taken right to her her Instagram. So again, Mary, best of luck with the strip. Best of luck with all your future endeavors. I'm definitely going to keep reading MERS. And if you ever decide to do, something a little more on the serious side, I'll be checking that out too. And the door's always open if you ever want to come back and chat some more.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. Please tell your friends about us, subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. The Comic Source is a member of the LRM Podcast Network, so when you visit the site, be sure to check out some of our other podcasts like Los Fanboys, our official movie and TV podcast hosted by Joseph Jammer Medina, Netflix and Chill, hosted by Nick and Carrie, covering a wide variety of film and television topics with Game of Thrones and Star Wars as particular favorites, and finally, Mike and Mark's Marvelous Adventures, as these two former athletes share their love of sports and geek culture by chatting about anything and everything sports and geek related. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.